everyone. Welcome and happy new year. I hope most of you or everyone had a great holidays and also now a wonderful beginning of the year. And in divine right order, divine right timing, and divine right harmony, we welcome everyone and we continue to be a platform, to be a medium for the continuing education of everything that's in alignment with the source, in alignment with God, or however you address something that's most important in our existence in this world. So today, I'm very excited to have Tammy Healy, Emily Hernandez, and this time with Natalia Loyola. If you remember, it was in March 2022, so it's almost a year, so it's about time that they come back to us. So thank you, ladies, for being with me.
Oh, well, thank you for having us, Grace. It's great to be back.
Yeah, really, really wonderful. So as we all know, everyone seemed to be craving to get some education, information, and empowerment to see what they can do to change or to make a shift of what's been happening, of what we know that that's not true. So now we just wanted to act on what we know. And for those who have still been living under the rock, it would be good to have this conversation. And it is in, just to remind, I said it was in March 9, 2022, and if you go to the bit shoot, for those of you who didn't listen to the first one, it was in, I think, episode number 240. So just look for their names, and it will be, it was in bit shoot, it was in Rumble, in Brighteon, and in Podbean Audio. So you can find the first one. But now this will be the second one. So if you need more information, so in that first one, it was more Emily and Tammy presenting, and the title was Reclaim Your Birthright as an American. So now we want to ask the question to you, to us, are you an American or are you a citizen? Now, we'll just keep it ball rolling, and whoever of the ladies would want to speak and share, we'll let it flow, okay? But first, let me ask Emily to introduce herself and just see where she was before and her background, or whatever important thing that she wanted to tell you that would be in relation to what the topic is. So, Emily.
Okay, so my name's Emily, and I'm the coordinator for the New Jersey Assembly. And what does that actually mean? It means the New Jersey Assembly is a group of Americans that are status corrected. That means that we're not U.S. citizens, and we'll go over that a little bit more later. But we were born as Americans, and so what we have done, the assembly members, is record and publish our status as actual Americans and not U.S. citizens. So I'm actually a nurse. I've been a nurse for 24 years in an ER. And I had a friend, a coworker, tell me about the birth certificate scam, how they have enslaved us with it. And she gave me a lot of information, and I thought, oh, wow, what is this stuff that she's talking about? And so she's a good friend also, and we've always been aware of a lot of things that have been going on in our country. And so I thought, oh, wow, okay, maybe I need to look this up because maybe she's confused. I believed her because I know she was being honest, but I just had never heard of this information. So I went looking, and took me a while, I would say maybe 6 months to a year before I actually corrected my status, because I just didn't know how to do it. So I found Anna Bunn Writes. I found a video on YouTube where she was talking with the Texas Republic, And just about everything she was saying resonated with me. And I thought, oh, this is where, you know, I want more information about her and what's going on. So I found the American States Assembly website, and that's actually linked. And so that's where I corrected my status. I did it as soon as I found the information. And so here in New Jersey, no one had stepped up to get our state reconstructed. That's part of our mission, is to reconstruct our lawful government, the government that was set up by our founding fathers after the Revolutionary War, which has been missing since the Civil War. And so I didn't really want to do it. I'm pretty introverted. And so I said, no, I'd love to be in the assembly, but I do not want to be the coordinator. That's not for me. And so... You know, Terry and, you know, some of the other Americans from the other assemblies were like, no, that's what, you'll be fine. And I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know anything. I barely know about status correction and what's going on in our country. And they said, that's what every coordinator says. And so I felt like it was my duty to, you know, get our assembly rebooted or started, really. And so I stepped up. And that was August of 2020. It was literally 4 months status corrected. So just a baby. And so now after over 2 years, here I am. Our assembly is growing. And yeah, so that's who I am.
Thank you. So, and but even if you say you're just a baby, and yes, 2020, but I know when you know, anyone would speak to you in person or one-on-one, you know so much already, and you can help many people because you've been, you have applied what you know, right? So thanks for that. So Tammy, would you like to go next?
Unmute.
There I go. I can unmute myself. Yeah. So my name's Tammy Healy, and I'm a part of the New Jersey Assembly. And I just recently, I feel like I've gravitated towards the position of outreach coordinator. I feel like, you know, my strength is getting out there and educating people and basically organizing people. I love getting together with people. I love learning all their different, you know, personalities and, you know, how they came to be, who they are, what they're doing. I find that very interesting about everybody I always have. So I feel like that's a strength. But I came to learn about the assembly through Natalia's husband, and it was quite, I would say that it's more of a divine intervention, because when all this COVID madness was going on, I got involved in different patriot groups, and I just felt like I was, there was breadcrumbs that was, you know, being dropped and leading me ultimately to the place we are at today. And so, you know, I feel very grateful. I feel blessed that, you know, God was just leading me to this path. You know, he wanted me to have this information. And perhaps because he knows that I love people and I love to talk to people. And so maybe perhaps educating them and getting this information to them, you know, maybe that's what my mission is. And so, but outside of the assembly, I'm a wife for 19 years. My husband and I have been together for 20. We have 4 kids, so I'm a mom. And I homeschool my youngest son with Natalia and her son. So, you know, I'm very fortunate where I get to see that beautiful woman, you know, every week. So it's fun. And, you know, it's really been an interesting journey. I can't say it's been easy. And I don't think it is an easy journey, but nonetheless, it's an interesting, you know, journey that we are on for sure. So, and thank you for having us today, Grace.
Oh, you're most welcome. I see you all ladies like, you know, like a beautiful buds, and it's just like the situation in the last 2-3 years kind of like forced all of you to bloom, and it came out of you like, okay, just I'm not just going to be a mother. I'm just going to be just a nurse taking care of all the patients, which you all love to do as a mother and as a nurse. But I said, forget it. We're doing something more. So thank you. And so let's hear from Natalia.
Yes, exactly, Grace. I was the same. I was thinking, what can I do? Because seeing that things are going wrong, and then trying to research and investigate and finding what's wrong, then I started to ask myself, how can I fix? How can I help to fix? What can I do? And I remember talking to Tammy, like she said, I was already status corrected. I corrected my status in 2021. And Tammy always had very interesting questions that made me go back and research, because not always we know the answers, but what we can research, we can find out from friends, we can find out from the assembly members. And so we had very interesting discussions. I had very interesting discussions with Tammy, and there she is now with us in the New Jersey Assembly. And and I remember because back in Ukraine, I used to teach. And moving here in this country, I gained some business experience, got my MBA, and hearing feedback, you're too honest, you're not going to survive in business. I was thinking, it's like, I would understand if I would hear that in Eastern Europe, but here in the United States, really? I was like, so basically, once I corrected my status and when I find out about Anna Van Rights, it took me like a day to correct my status, because I already knew what's wrong, but I did not know the way out. And when I find out of different type of citizenship, and I was naturalized by naturalization certificate when I moved to this country. I was thinking I became an American, but I became a US citizen, and then I understood the difference. And once I joined the assembly and corrected my status, joined the assembly, I was elected as a treasurer for the New Jersey Assembly. And I also run our academy, which is called the North American Academy, together with Tammy. We have plans to grow. For now, we are very small. And I do Blood Money Serious Call by Anna Van Rights every first Monday of the month for the assembly members, because we cannot solve the problem with the mindset that created that problem. And when people ask about common law courts, about our own banks for the people, but it's us. We educate ourselves and then we take appropriate action.
It's really interesting that it's not that I know you know, it's like you didn't think of it or you didn't feel that there's a need for something. It's just like each of us have that longing already, or it's already there. So for some of our viewers, I'm sure they've been like either thinking about something, feeling about either being uneasy of that's what's been happening, I bet even before 3 years, right? In the last 3 years. Because in some life experiences bring us to that, what we need to learn again, what we need to do. So, and yeah, power to these ladies. I'm very honored that I am with this high, I don't want to use the word ranking, but anyway, you're all having that positions and responsibilities that I know you're committed to help others. So, well, can we start by, you know, any of you who wants to answer, because we've been using the word corrected status. So now, what are we correcting as the status? And yeah, so when you post this question, are you an American or US citizen? I said, what are you talking about? Yeah, and the same thing as, you know, that presentation, reclaim your birthright as an American. That may be for those people who are coming from another country, maybe they might think like, okay, maybe that's for me. But really, it's all a question for everyone. So please help my audience understand it.
Yeah, I can get started unless Tammy, you want to go ahead, or I'll say something and then Tammy can just add, or Natalia. So there's a big difference between an American and a U.S. citizen. And so this goes back in history, right? Americans are people born in one of the 50 Union states. And so the corporation, which is United States Incorporated, or whatever they're calling it these days, is a separate. It has always been separate. It's called United States Incorporated in Washington, D.C. It also includes Guam, Puerto Rico, Mariana Islands, or seven states. And so the United States, the corporation, is separate in that it's a foreign jurisdiction. It's a foreign, it's just foreign to the 50 Union states. It has always been that way historically. And so before the Civil War, Americans were Americans. And so after some shenanigans after the Civil War and then with FDR, they started misidentifying us and converting us, I guess I'm going to use that word, to United States citizens, which are citizens of their corporation. And they claim that we are corporations, legal fictions, not living people and not Americans. And so that's one of the biggest problems why our country is the way it is, why the people of this country have very little power, because we've been misidentified. As Americans, we were actually the employers. You know, that's the way we, the people, the way it was set up. And so the corporation was supposed to be our employees. They had 19 enumerated services that they were to perform for us under the constitutions and nothing more. But so that's the difference between an American and a U.S. citizen. An American is someone born in one of the 50 Union states, and a U.S. citizen is someone born in the territories, not the 50 Union states. And so we were all born Americans. If you were born in one of the 50 Union states, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, California, you were an American when you were a baby. And so with the birth certificate, they unlawfully converted you to a United States citizen. You didn't know because you're a baby. Your mom didn't know because they didn't tell her. So that's one of our questions. That's pretty much the answer to that one.
and I'd like to just add, it's very deceptive and very deceitful what these perpetrators have done to this country, because they like to use words that sound legitimate, like birth certificate, right? You would think that, you know, that you are, people believe that when you have a birth certificate, that you are actually taking that birth of your baby and making it a public record so that you know when they were born and all the information, you know, their size and the time. And so, but really, no, what they're doing is that birth certificate they create as a bond, and we know it as bondage. And if you look at the birth certificate and look at what they require your mother to fill out, in most of the instances, it actually says either parent or it says informant. And especially, you know, because I've given birth to four children now. And so I know how I felt after giving birth. You're kind of out of it. So when somebody comes in, like a nurse or some kind of hospital official comes in and is requiring you to sign these papers, you don't really read the fine print on it. You just assume that these people are acting on good faith and on your behalf, that they're not doing anything wrong to you. Why would they, right? They're there to take care of you. They just helped you give birth to your baby. And, you know, you entrust in them. So why would you question it? Why would you look at the fine print? you know, and these, unfortunately, these are all the schemes and the semantics that have been going on for years that are roping Americans into their system and like Emily said, unlawfully converting us.
So. Natalia, you have anything to add?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would add, and not just birth certificate, it goes to driver's license, any type of license, and there are all these different type of bondages going on that's basically unilateral contracts that we did not agree because we did not have a full disclosure, we did not really know what's going on. And so basically all documents that start with capital letter name, and then also upper and lowercase can be tricky as well, because it belongs to a different type of citizenship as well, municipal or capital letter name, and upper and lowercase territorial citizens. So basically which are US citizens or citizens of the United States, but not Americans.
And when you mention about the word parent and informant, it's very interesting because we never really thought that, as you, Tammy, you know, you just thought that everything is being done in good faith. And yet we now really understand that there's power in every word. And if we don't really know the real meaning of it, then we're like in contract with what they're telling us to, you know, that we are in contract with and that we didn't really understand. So in correct, the first one is, the first step for this is correcting the status, right? So what would be the, like, the first benefit when people do it, when individuals do it? So I guess, why should they do it? Why should one do it?
I think that most people think that they are Americans, and in their heart they are, right? But legally in their corporate system, because they've been misidentified, they're, you know, considered US citizens. Most people think they're the same thing. They're not. You can actually go look up United States in their federal codes, and it tells you it's a corporation. So you can't be a citizen of a corporation if you were born in one of the 50 states. So what that means is most people think that they're Americans. So by correcting your status, you're actually gonna come back to your original birthright jurisdiction where you actually belonged. So in your mind, you already thought you were an American. So it's really just putting it on a public record, saying to the world, I'm an American, I'm not a US citizen, I'm not a corporate, fiction. I'm not a legal fiction. I'm a living man or woman. So basically that's what that is.
Thank you. Go ahead, Tammy.
Yeah. And I would add to that, which, you know, these are some of the things that I've learned this past year, is that as a US citizen, you are under their statutes and codes. And you have to abide by their statutes and codes. And so this really resonated for me as far as a benefit goes, because I can remember when they were forcing people to wear masks against their will, you know, and I'm not here to get into a debate with anybody about whether it's beneficial to wear a mask or not. You know, I'm just talking about the freedom to choose to wear a mask. And so when I was seeing that there was these quote unquote mandates, right, that were being infringed upon us, enforced upon us, I remember just sitting back and thinking, this is not America. You know, we were taught in school that we are a free country. Okay, we have the freedom to make choices for ourselves. Like, there should not be anything forced upon us. So that was the red flag for me that something was very seriously wrong. And so, and then in talking with school officials and town council members and mayors of towns and different things like that, They basically were saying, well, you have to do that because it's a mandate from the governor. Okay, well, if I don't, you know, allow my child to go to, you know, I don't want my child to wear a mask in school. I'm just going to write a note and say that we choose, you know, not to wear one for our own health reasons. And with them telling me, well, you can't, you have to, they have to wear a mask or they're not going to be allowed in school. It's like, wait a minute here. You know, how is that okay? And the answers that I was getting from some of these school officials were, well, if we don't abide by these protocols, then we won't get the funding. And then I just started thinking, well, what does the funding have to do with whether or not my kid comes to school in a mask or not? You know, like, do you get funding if my kid comes to school with shoes rather sneakers? You know, where is this going to end? Like this, it didn't make sense to me. And even though they kept saying it was for health reasons and to protect others, we already knew that masks don't protect anybody from a virus. It even says so on the box. So none of this made sense to me. And then addressing police officers and asking them, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to try to arrest me if I walk into this building without wearing a mask? And, you know, some of them here in our town, you know, were like, well, we won't arrest you, but I can't promise you what the security guards at the school are going to do. So I'm envisioning these, you know, security guards, you know, tackling me down. You know, I'm a 5'2", 125 pound woman, and I'm envisioning them, you know, tackling me to the ground and trying to force me to wear something against my will. And, you know, I'm just like, well, where does this end? You know, so when I finally was introduced to the assembly, it made total sense because I was like, oh, well, now I understand why they were forcing people to follow along with statutes and codes, which, by the way, are not laws. The corporation can only put statutes and codes in there. They can't make laws. And so anyway, and only presidents of a corporation or heads of a corporation can actually pass executive orders. And it says it right there, executive. So I know in the corporate world, these are all terminologies and titles that they give their employees. And so, you know, it made total sense to me. So the benefit of becoming an American is now you are following laws. You're not following statutes and codes and, you know, that appear to be laws. And our laws are very simple. They follow the Ten Commandments and nature's laws. You know, it's just common sense stuff. Do no harm. So, I don't know. Hopefully that helped.
No, thank you very much. And maybe Natalia, you could answer this question. If someone corrects the status, do they lose their social security or unemployment benefits or retirement benefits? Because sometimes people are scared to do anything to change the status quo. Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course, Grace. And to add briefly to what Tammy and Emily just shared, also Americans have rights, US citizens, they have privileges, what corporation tells them. And as far as changing the status and how life goes after, I did not lose anything that I had before. I don't utilize my social security yet, and maybe as a coordinator, Emily will have more information on this. But I know all the benefits since people already paid to that. The benefits belongs to them, so they will still be getting their social security and all benefits that they receiving. Nothing changes. They're actually gaining more for after correcting their status and becoming an American on the land and soil, because also this is a jurisdictional matter as well. You're gaining back your rights like life, liberty, property, pursuit of happiness, because also Americans own property. US citizens, they rent property. But that's another subject, and it goes deeper, much deeper.
Yeah, so when basically Natalia said it about Social Security, so it's another scam created by the FDR administration. It was originally only for federal citizens, but they made all the Americans believe it was for everyone. And so they've been taking Federal Reserve notes out of your hard-earned labor without your consent, right? Because if you had a choice, you would say no. A lot of people would. I know I would, especially knowing what I know now. So because they're taking this money against your will, then when you retire, you're owed those, you know, benefits. And the same thing goes with unemployment. It's an insurance. It's a form of insurance. So the only thing that we don't accept in the assemblies is unearned benefits. For example, if you come from another country, or if you've never worked a day in your life and you go on welfare, that's unacceptable for us because that's considered an unearned benefit and you're actually considered a of the corporation. You actually belong to them. Most people don't know that, but you know, it makes sense. To me, anyway.
And here's this question. Same thing with, go ahead.
Sorry. I also forgot about military benefits because we get asked that a lot too. You know, they've earned that. It was part of their contract. Same thing with disability. It's an insurance. So, you know, they don't have to give any of that up. They really don't have to give up anything they don't want to. You can put it on the public record. I'm an American. I'm not a U.S. citizen with our declarations that, you know, we have on the website. And other than that, they don't have to do anything they don't want to do. Nothing.
Now, there's this question from a viewer. It says he sees so many different ways to approach becoming a corrected status. So please explain why following Anna Vaughn's rights path is the correct process to follow.
Okay, so Anna Vaughn Rights and the Living Law Firm have been doing research. They're constantly doing research. And so based on, you know, that research, we believe that it's the correct way. If you read the documents and you understand what's going on, what they've done to you, the history, you'll realize that is the correct way based on even just historical things like the Declaration of Independence. You know, reading that in the past, it kind of didn't make sense to me. It felt like I felt so separated from it. But now knowing about what Anna Vaughn Rights tells, you know, teaches us and via research, I understand it. And it's actually, it feels a lot closer to us. Like it belongs to us, basically. I don't know if Tammy and Natalia have a better answer.
Well, I can just add to that. I don't know if it's a better answer, but, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that's following David Strait and Bobby Lawrence. And I think that they're giving some great information. I have a problem though with people that are going around the country and giving out what should be free information, and they're charging an arm and a leg for people to get in and to learn this process. And then, you know, some of the paperwork is costing them thousands of dollars to, you know, file their documents. With our process, it's very simple. And the only thing you pay for is the cost to record it, which is a few dollars for each paper. So, you know, you're not gonna go broke correcting your status. I always feel like when somebody's charging a lot of money that there's some other kind of agenda for them. All of Anna's stuff is free. She only asks for donations, you know, but she doesn't ever require or charge or anything along those lines. And if you listen to her and you listen to, you know, the David Strait camp, I recently watched a video of a woman who was very close friends with David Strait, followed his ways, corrected her status. And then she had to go to court for something. I don't know really what the court case was about. I don't know if it was a traffic violation or what it was. But he came with her to court and was, you know, helping her along the process. And nothing he said to her, you know, for her or that was teaching her helped her to get out of that situation. And she had to keep going back to court. And basically, she stopped following David's advice and just started learning common law on her own. And she was able to get herself out of that, you know, situation, that lawsuit, just on her own, doing her own research and you know, following common law and educating herself, basically. So she's actually out there and she talks about how she went on tour with David Strait and how when she was getting to the point of talking about her court case, he actually put them on break and then didn't allow her to go back up on stage to even continue talking about her case. So to me, those all of those things send up red flags. You know, I don't have any personal you know, connection with the David Strait and Bobby Lawrence camp. But you know, if you read what they're doing and listening to the people that are following them, and then you read, you know, about Anna's stuff and you follow along with the people that are doing what, you know, what she's, you know, helping them to do, there's significant differences. And most of the people that I've, you know, I should say all the people that I've come in contact with through Anna Von Wright's, because there's different means to communicate with people across, you know, the country that are status corrected. They're having successes with their, you know, cases and, you know, and things like that. So again, like with what Emily said, you have to pick and choose what resonates best with you. And those, for all those reasons that I just stated, that's why I went with the Anna Von Wright's process. And it was a lot easier, a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just wanted to add one more thing. Maybe Natalia will mention it anyway, but David Strait's process pretty much leaves you as a British territorial U.S. citizen. So we kind of talked about that before. There's a citizen of the United States, there's a United States citizen, and there's an American. And then they probably have other forms that we don't know about. But so what David Strait does, if you read his affidavit of repudiation, and I have nothing against him. I listen to his stuff. I used to listen to his stuff. So he points out the fraud, and it's correct, but not once does he actually repudiate the British territorial U.S. citizen, only the municipal, which is the one in all capital letters. And so Anna Von Wright's process actually rebuts both citizenships. So that's what I wanted to add.
Yes, Emily, pretty much the same I wanted to add, because to me, I compare different groups process, and I like to listen to common law lawyers, to constitutional lawyers, and Anna process is complete. And the same time, like Tammy said, it's simple. So that's why it's very important for me to be removed, not just step by step. And it's like, if I can remove myself once and for all, I'll take that. So, and that was Anna's process to me.
And here's a follow-up question with that, you know, about the process for Anna Von. He says, since the closed LRS, the land recording system, it's been closed. So what's the first step to proceed to becoming a corrected status?
The process is still the same or similar. You could still go on the website And the documents are there under correct your status or chart your course. And they're templates, they're no charge. You just insert your information in them and you could pretty much record them wherever you want. Doesn't have to be in our system. It could be in the de facto system. You could put it on YouTube, but they might take it down. You want somewhere that's permanent. You could put it in the newspaper if they allow it. Any public record, you could put those declarations. So, but what we're doing to help people, because it seems a lot easier for people if the assembly itself has its own process. And so starting January 16th, we're going to start recording in another system that was created by the Federation. It's called the Land Recording Office. And so you can actually go on our website. We have, you know, the NewJerseyAssembly.com. And there's more information there. I don't think we have information about the LRO yet because we're still in the process of getting the system started. For our assembly. But, you know, they can pay someone to do their documents if they want to. There's two Americans from one of the other states that will do them. They can do their own templates. And then they just notify me or our recording secretary. And we give them instructions. We send some paperwork to help them. And then when they have their documents ready, we just publish them on, you know, that's the plan that we, you know, we have published them on the LRO as soon as we're ready, up and going.
Did you say NewJerseyAssembly.com? That's it?
TheNewJerseyAssembly.com.
Okay. I'll make a banner for that, New Jersey. I'll make a banner for that.
Yeah, and just one other thing, they would have to show us a copy of their birth certificate, a copy, just so they would know that they were born in one of the 50 states. And so if they weren't born in one of the 50 states, for example, if they were born in another country, they can just show, you know, send a copy of their U.S. naturalization form. If they have a green card, they can send us a copy of that. Even if they're undocumented, they'll have to just be here for 7 years and one day. They'll just have to show us a some kind of evidence that they've been living in one of the 50 states for at least 7 years and one day.
Oh, thank you. And since everyone's really worried about their income, you know, the economy, the finances, many lost their jobs or their businesses. So the question is that how would being correcting our status affect our way of paying or giving income tax?
Well, for anyone that's read Title 26 of the United States Code, and I have read bits and pieces of it, it's very hard to understand. It's very hard. It was created to be difficult to understand. But the whole premise is that Americans have no liability to pay federal income taxes. They were always for federal citizens or anyone involved with alcohol, tobacco, or firearms.
How about in community participation? You know, can a corrected status individual still participate? Like attend community meetings or go to the bank, things like that.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think when you're first introduced to this information, there's this box that you're thinking of, right? Like I'm in this box, they're in this box. And how is this going to work if I remove myself from this box and put myself in that box? How am I going to work? And it doesn't work like that. I mean, if you can envision a big circle and little circles all in this big circle, and you know, you're kind of in this big circle together, but you're operating in your own capacity, right? You're in this big circle with the British territorial government and with the municipal government, and you're the American government. you know, and you're all supposed to be there. That's how our founding fathers set it up. And so, you know, what does that look like for an average American is really, it's no different. You know, you just are standing in your power as an American, and you're still, you know, going to the same grocery store. You're still, you know, withdrawing funds from the same bank account. You're still, traveling and going to on vacations, you know, like there really is no difference as far as your everyday, what your everyday looks like. You know, you're not pulling yourself and isolating yourself. You know, that's kind of what I thought it was going to be. And I thought, oh my God, that's something I definitely don't want to do. And that scared me, because I didn't understand the process, you know, and now that I have a better understanding, all it is, you know, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it is that, you know, say like you're like I was Tammy Steele before I got married. And then, you know, I got married and now I'm Tammy Healy. But did I change? You know, no, I just got married. You know, it's like that's kind of the difference, you know, it's really. Really, what benefits does that give me? Well, I'm now a wife and now I'm a mother and, you know, like there's benefits to it, right? But I'm still me. I haven't changed. You know, that's really, really nothing's going to be scary or, you know, you're not going to be isolated. You're still a part of society. In fact, maybe you walk with a little pep in your step now because you're not being enslaved, you know, you're not oppressed anymore. So that's the difference.
No, that's a beautiful way of describing it. I like that. It's kind of really, yeah, that's true. Not to put, you know, those ideas in our box, but really make it into spheres. So maybe each of you could share what's your what have you experienced that's worst right now, or the most challenge that you had, whether it be with in school or whether it be with a police officer? Because recently we just met a police officer who, interesting enough, he also had an experience of meeting someone who claimed as a corrected status. So. But help me let the audience hear from your experiences of certain like difficult thing that you ended up educating someone in front of you.
Well, I think both Natalia and I have a lot of experience in this regard. Well, you know, the most challenging, honestly, is educating the, you know, what we know of them as our law enforcement officers. And unfortunately, you know, I know I have friends who are law enforcement officers. We've got family members that have been law enforcement officers. And unfortunately, they don't know that they work for a corporation and they don't understand that when they go out every day and they're asked to pull people over for, you know, speeding or rolling through a stop sign or taking a right turn when they shouldn't have. That's really not to uphold any kind of law. That really is making the corporation money and pulling the U.S. citizens into these courts because then they create bonds. And these courts are there to make money for these corporations. So these law enforcement officers, unfortunately, are not educated and they're not being trained properly on who we are. And that's probably the most challenging because, you know, in finding all this out, I'm the kind of person that wants to do everything that I feel like I'm following God's ways, right? This is the right path. This is the righteous path. And so when I'm finding out all this information and I know that all of this is fraud, it's basically fraud, it's money laundering, it's racketeering, It's crimes of personage. It's crimes of trafficking. It's crimes of impersonation. There's so many different crimes that are being committed against us as U.S. citizens in that system that for me, I wanted to do what I knew what was right. And so I took the license plates off my car and I put the placard on my car that said that I was an American state national and that, you know, that I'm not driving in commerce. I'm in my private capacity. Right. So there's over three dozen Supreme Court cases that have ruled that Americans have the freedom to travel freely without having a registration, without having a driver's license, and, you know, and not needing insurance. So it's already been ruled on over three dozen times. So I thought that I had the law working for me and I didn't think I was going to have a problem. I'm not somebody that goes and breaks the laws. I'm not going to drive recklessly. I'm not going to do something that is going to put somebody in harm's way. And so I was traveling on in my own capacity and I did get pulled over. I had three of my children in the car and my two dogs because I was taking them to go get groomed. They forced me out of my private car. Because they were pulling me over because they said I had fictitious plates, even though I gave him my travel kit that told him everything he needed to know about me, who I was, what my status was, what jurisdiction I was operating as. They used force, coercion, and intimidation to get me out of my private car and towed it on me. And so they basically forced me because, you know, I've got, you know, they left me and my three children stranded on the side of the road on Main Street in Wharton. This was the Wharton Police Department. And, I kept telling them over and over, you know, I am an American state national and they kept calling me a sovereign citizen, which by the way, for your audience, that is an oxymoron. You know, you can't be sovereign and you can't be a citizen. You can't put those two terms together. They're complete opposites. And so clearly they, you know, this is just another tactic of their schemes and semantics to confuse people on who we are, to make us look like we're some, you know, people that are just kind of going off on our own and doing our own thing and not wanting to follow the laws, right? And he kept telling me that this is the law, this is the law. And I kept telling him, I don't follow statutes and codes. I follow the law on the land and soil jurisdiction. And so, you know, they didn't listen. They did tow my car. I had to pull it out and I had to do all these steps. So it was challenging. You know, that is very challenging. And so, you know, Natalia will probably share her stories with you as well, but we need to get our status corrected Americans and visit with our chiefs of police, with our sheriff department, and educate them on who we are. And there is, believe it or not, there is, I believe, you know, you ladies can correct me, but I believe it's the Department of I don't know. It's not motor vehicle, but it or transportation. Maybe it's the Department of Transportation yes. that is doing. They actually have training for law enforcement to know who we are. So there is training out there for them. Why they haven't gone through it so that they know and understand who we are, I don't know. And I kept asking them when they pulled me over, can you please tell me what crime I've committed? Why are you wanting to take and steal my private property when I haven't even committed a crime? So they had no answers. Clearly they're being mistrained. And, you know, I don't know if it's an ego trip for them to, you know, feel like they have the power to do these things. But, you know, it was wrong on so many levels. And so, you know, that is part of our goal for this year is to get out there and you know, educate our law enforcement officers, because I know that we have good-hearted, good-meaning, good-intentioned law enforcement officers. I think the reason why they got into law enforcement in the first place is because they did want to serve and protect. And I kept telling these guys that pulled me over, you know, how are you serving and protecting me right now? You know, how are you doing that? Because you're leaving me stranded on the side of the road with my three kids. So how is that serving and protecting me as the public? And, you know, they couldn't answer me. They were just like robots, you know, talking and just repeating clearly what they've been trained on. And so at that point, you know, I just knew that I wasn't going to get anywhere with them. And my kids were already traumatized. So I didn't want to put them through any more harm. But you know, these are the struggles that we have as Americans, you know, just getting the word out on who we are.
Thank you. And yeah, let's hear from Natalia. And maybe after Natalia, maybe someone can, you know, if there can say anything, if there's anything different that you could have done, or if someone, you know, maybe one of the viewers may be in a situation, could there be something that they can do or call? Okay.
Yes, of course. Yes, I never been pulled over before, and after I corrected my status and I started to travel with a placard, and traveling is one of our basic rights, and it also guaranteed by the First Amendment in the Constitution. And I've been pulled over one time. He let me go. I explained who I am, and I gave him my my credential card, which we have a credential card that he insisted that he needed to know who I am, which he doesn't. I didn't break any rules in any corporate rules by that time. He just did not recognize the placard on the car. So I was respectful and I gave him my credential card. He came back and he let me go. Second time I've been pulled over, maybe a minute away from my home, maybe even less than a minute. And I was traveling for a massage appointment. Unlawful interrogation and detainer for 1 hour, 30 minutes on the road, back and forth explaining policy officers, because they're not, they're enforcing statutes and codes of the city, in this case, the corporation, they're policy officers, did not help. They towed my car. Second time, and it cost me thousands of dollars to get it back. Second time, I was more prepared, and still, they towed my car. I was traveling with my son to buy a grocery store, and he needed to use the bathroom. And his experience was horrible. And even knowing that a woman was the one who pulled us over, I told her that my son needs to use the bathroom, a 12-year-old boy. She did not care at all. She tried to trick him and interrogate him. That was insane to me. And towed my car again. I was more prepared, cited codes that actually abides the policy officers to leave us alone, like 18 USC 241 and 242, deprivation of rights and conspiracy against rights. Did not care at all. I informed them about fraud and swindles, which is 18 USC 1341 and 42, a fictitious name, did not care at all, towed my car. I informed them about the extortion, did not care at all, that my case at that time was already in the appeal, because I did go after first time they towed my car. I went to the municipal court, which I know all these courts, the administrative courts and judges, they're bankers. I was thinking that if I show the documents, they will recognize the status, dismiss the case with extreme prejudice. Judge literally ignored and dismissed all the documents, all public record. And when he pleaded guilty on my behalf, which is he was practicing law from the bench, and I let him know, he told me, well, that's what we do here. So basically, judge committing a crime, and he doesn't even hide it. So, but those are how administrative courts works. And a second time when my car got pulled over, I added three more police officers to my criminal claim. I filed a criminal claim against police officers and tort claim. So right now, case with the Superior Court in Newark. Gosh, I forgot. Newton, yes, in Newton. And so basically it's on January 27th at 10 a.m. So general public is welcome. And we'll see how this goes, but I have no high expectations because I know that we haven't been having common law courts for a long time, that unconstitutional behavior, ignoring U.S. Supreme Court rulings, it's happening for a long time in this country, and we did not really keep this policy officers accountable. And right now we'll see where it will take me, but definitely I can do what I can do. And in this case, to inform, educate, and protect my basic rights.
Excellent. So basically, there is a way that one can complain. So in that moment, when you're in a difficult situation, I guess it's all right to, you know, not to be aggressive in a situation when you, especially when you have your children, your sons and daughters, right? But then you can file a complaint against them and with all whatever, you know, the things that they didn't do or abide with a constitution. So that's great. And so even with these experiences, none of you are saying, okay, I'm out of here, you stop. Yeah, once corrected, always corrected, right?
Yes. And I would add that there is a process in our system that allows us to it's a form of justice, I guess you can say, and it's a lien process. So we have our own process that I guess in the best way to describe it is like our way of being able to sue them, you know, for damages that they've incurred on us. But we have, you know, I think we respond to all of them that we are peaceful Americans. You know, we're non-combatant peaceful Americans. We're not here, you know, and that would be my response to the chiefs of police and the sheriffs is that we're not your enemies. You know, we're here to help you. You know, if you're there to upkeep the peace and protect the general public, like that's our job too. You know, we're here to help you. We're not an enemy. You don't have to worry about us. You know, like you've got bigger rats to catch. there's a lot more evil in this world than trying to focus your attention on a peaceful, non-combatant American. So that would be my my message to if there's any law enforcement officers that are watching your podcast, I would say that, yes, like we are the peacekeepers in this country. And we uphold the public law. And that's what we're trying to do. And we're not going to back down. We're not going to go away. We're here to stay. And we are growing exponentially. So.
Yeah. And I just want to add that that's a really difficult situation because they've it's like a racket. It's a big mob. And so they have just got their fingers in everything, just like the mob is, you know, everywhere. You know, they use the law, the policy enforcers to enforce their codes, which are actually foreign. They're foreign codes. They're based on the UCC, which is the Uniform Commercial Code. And it's actually the Pope's, as insane as that sounds. It's based on Unijoint codes. And so what each of the states, they're not real states, they're the state of state, they're the corporation. What they've done is that they've incorporated those foreign codes as their municipal codes. And so, you know, amendment, I believe it's 10 or 11, says Americans are the subject of foreign law. So all those codes are foreign. And I'm not, you know, saying, and I know that Tammy and Natalia will agree with me, we're not going to go speeding at 100 miles per hour because we don't, you know, those codes don't apply to us. No, we are peaceful and we are safe. And we actually, as Americans, have a duty to be even more responsible. We don't do those things, you know, and so we stop on red lights and we follow those rules because they are for safe reasons, you know, but, you know, even in their codes, they're technically not supposed to stop you unless there's an injury to someone's property or to someone, you know, they put on their lights. And as a nurse in the ER, I know for a fact that that's illegal. Okay. Unless you're, you know, in an emergency, you should not have your lights. You know, you should not be stopping somebody because, I don't know, you don't like their license plate on their private property. So it's just, it's a big mob, and a lot of people in it don't know that. And so it's a big thing that we're like, we don't know how we're going to fix it. And yes, Tammy's right, education, but I think it has to start from above. And so the people that are above know this and they don't want their gig to end. And so I don't know. Part of what, you know, we're doing in the assembly is we're assembling. Part of the problem has been because the Americans weren't in their rightful position as the employers. And so we're supposed to tell them what to do. We're, you know, in this country, that's the way it was set up. Unlike any other country, that was the American experiment. And so because they misidentified us, they kind of flipped everything around, and they put themselves at the top and us all the way at the bottom. And so what the assemblies are all doing across all 50 states is, finishing the reconstruction, getting our states back, you know, the American states and people that the Constitution talks about. That's who we are. And so we're trying to come back together and try to fix the things that are wrong in this country. So I think that anybody who really cares about this country, their family, whether you're, you know, a policy enforcer or a lawyer or whoever you may be, even in the corporation, if we can agree that we want to make this country, you know, better and get things back to the way they're supposed to be, then we're on the same side. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, and what I couldn't agree with that more.
Yeah, it's beautiful to say those, you know, helping each and everyone to really get back to how our founding fathers really wanted it to be. So I was even thinking if each individual is working on correcting the status, its status, then there should be a way to correct the whole country's status, right? And, you know, go back to what the founding fathers wanted it to be. Is there anything more that at this moment that you feel like the people needs to know? And of course, this should not be the last time that we all come together and I have you guys, because it's really a pleasure and an honor to meet beautiful, powerful, empowering, courageous ladies and continue mothers and workers. So yeah, any last messages you want, and any more links? I have the newjerseyassembly.com at least. Okay,
Grace, may go. I wanted to mention, since we were talking about traveling and also we're talking on a big scale about freedom, I remember putting that placard on my car and traveling, the feeling of being free, it, I know I'm going through tough experience now, but that it's worth it. And because I know what freedom is and what people experiencing in this country, that's not freedom. That's an illusion of freedom if somebody still think they're free, or oppression. And that's all.
Well,
I just wanted to add one quick thing about the assembly. You know, our, you know, part of our goal is to get our juror courts, our American common law courts back up. And, you know, we're supposed to self-govern the people. That's what we're supposed to do. So we're supposed to get our courts back up, our community response, which is the militia, as you know, owed to us in the Constitution, and then our business assembly. So that's another one of our goals, you know, get our state, our actual American state, back up and running.
Yeah, and I would add, I'd like your listeners to know that we do have structure with this government. All the structure is there. It's already put in place. It's been established. And it's not what the founding fathers wanted. It's actually what they structured for us. And it was left in mothballed after the Civil War. And so all we're doing is taking what was left at the roadside, picking it back up from where it was left, and just populating it again and getting the people back in these positions to run it again. And so I would encourage your listeners to, you know, go to some of these websites that we're suggesting, really start digging into this information. When I was doing my research, a few of the books that I highly recommend if they're looking for proof that what we're saying is actually true is there was a book called The Laws, The Natural Laws of Founded on Government, and it's by Clinton Roosevelt, who was the ancestor to both Theodore and FDR. And in that book, he maps out what would 80 years later become the Green New Deal. There's also another book called The Final Warning. I can't remember who the name of the author of that was. That's how I found about the book by Clinton Roosevelt, was in that book called The Final Warning. And then there's The Fruit from a Poisonous Tree by Melvin Stamper. And all of Anna's books that she has listed on her website. So there's plenty of proof. And ironically, Natalia and I are homeschooling our boys. And we chose a history book this year by the Tuttle twins. The authors, I think, are Connor Boyack and I forget the other author. But most people now who are of like mind are, you know, familiar with the Tuttle twins for their kids. And it actually talks about the assemblies. This book is going through the American history, and it actually is talking about the state assemblies. So they were there, they existed, and they're existing today, and we're working them. So, but just for your listeners, if they're looking for proof and they want to, you know, verify that what we're saying is true, and if they want to know about, you know, I think our last podcast, we got into more details of the history, so they could go back to that podcast as well. But just know that if you were an American born here, you know, correct your political status and get back, you know, join our mission, join us, become a part of our assembly, and help us reconstruct the lawful government of this state in this country so we can finally live in peace and have a life that our founding fathers wanted for us, which is the pursuit of happiness. You know, we want to live in freedom and live the way we choose, and to love, respect each other, and to work together. You know, the one thing that I find with a lot of people that are like, you know, that are still stuck on Democrats versus Republicans, you know, they want to know, well, have you notified the president? Have you notified this person or that person? How come you're not doing this? And it's like, no, we are the government. And I think that that's what people have a hard time wrapping their head around, is that we, the people, are supposed to be working this government. And so we need everybody to correct their status, get back to their lawful government, and help us to reconstruct this this government so we can get back to living in peace and happiness again.
Beautiful, beautiful ending. And let me just share you George's comments. And says, thank you for the great work and courage to stand up for our God-given rights. So we can all do our part. Just send all the love to each and everyone. You know, if Tammy, if family, if Natalia can do it, and many more who are not here. So let's just keep multiplying quantumly. And okay, so it's a good beginning of the year. And so you all take care and just don't hesitate to reach out. Any questions now or in the future? Take care. Ladies, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Grace.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
To your listeners. Much love.